If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44, the last number of weeks. Obviously, we're going through the study in the life of Joseph, but particularly the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the silver cup from different aspects of it. And again, as we come today, we're continuing the message that we left last time regarding Joseph's silver cup. And we're now thinking about it this time in the trials and troubles of the Christian life. But Genesis chapter 44, I'll read verse 1 down to verse 13. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his servant, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. They said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we have found in our sack's mouths, we brought it again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man's his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just ask the Lord's help in prayer. Father in heaven, come before thee and we confess, Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We need thy help. We need thy presence. And O God, we're so glad that whether two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou art there in the midst. Father, we thank thee. Thy word is truth. And O God, we come to bring forth thy truth. And therefore we ask of thee, Lord, that thou wilt apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, apply the word to each and every heart. And Father, we ask of thee that thy people will rejoice. Lord, teach us things today. And Father, we pray for those outside of Christ. May they be brought savingly to faith in thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of Genesis chapter 44, Joseph, the sovereign ruler of Egypt, arranges one final test for his brothers by giving his own silver cup to them. That silver cup symbolizes his sorrows, his sufferings, the trials of life by the hands of his brother, and also by the providential dealings of God. We learned that Joseph had a reason for this silver cup. As the sovereign ruler of the land, he does whatsoever he pleases. He intervenes in the lives of his brothers to bring about his own purposes. The brothers made a confession of their guilt concerning their treatment of Joseph. And now every word of that confession will be evidenced, will be examined to see if it bears fruit, to see if they witness a good confession. What's interesting about reading this passage is everything that takes place is planned by Joseph in this passage. It's unknown to the brothers. Joseph has planned and permitted this test to take place at a certain time and at a certain place. We have read that already in the reading, how Joseph does this and then commands his servant to follow after them. Joseph has commanded his steward to speak matters concerning him, and the steward obeys, and he speaks on matters relating to Joseph that leads the brothers back to Joseph. And there is, in these words, spiritual lessons to enrich our hearts, because overall, God permits tests in our own lives, as symbolized by the silver cup experience. Whenever we came to faith in Christ, we are examined day by day in order to witness a good confession. He has his own sovereign reasons, such as to witness a good confession, to promote our growth and grace. And above all, God permits silver cups in our life, or a silver cup in our life, to have fellowship with him, to draw us closer to him. God's tests come under the banner of God's decrees. Now, what are God's decrees? Again, the Shorter Catechism, question 7. And if you don't have the Shorter Catechism, you can lift one there on the way out and do seek to read it each day. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And so keep that phrase before you. God, in testing his people, hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Nothing in your life happens by mistake or by chance. It's all under the sovereign control of God. And we learn that even in the life of Joseph. Everything that has happened in his life, it's not been by fate, by chance, or people would say, just unlucky. Certainly not. It's all been arranged, ordered by the sovereign plan of God. As Joseph is doing as the ruler of Egypt, as the sovereign ruler, he's intervening in the lives of his brethren, planning everything in their life. And so in our life as well, God is in full control, and he always works according to his own purpose. Again, Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And so he plans, he permits silver cup experiences in our life. He sets the time, he sets the test, and he also sets the length of that very test. He arranges all who will be involved, and he works according to his own eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his own will. He sends the Holy Spirit, the blessed Paraclete, the Comforter, to draw alongside, to minister to God's own people, to testify, to witness of Christ, and to draw God's people to the Savior. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's to draw God's people to the Savior for comfort, for provision, and to know there's one who undertakes for us. And so all this is done providentially behind the scene. So we've looked at the reason for the silver cup. Joseph had a purpose for the silver cup in the lives of his brethren. And so in our life, God has a purpose for the silver cup that you face. But notice the three other thoughts today. Secondly, the receiver of the silver cup. The receiver of the silver cup. Joseph commands in his steward in verse 2, put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And so the youngest brother is Benjamin, and he receives Joseph's silver cup. Now, in reading this account, some may find it hard to grasp, because from a human perspective, Benjamin is the innocent one. He's the harmless one. In a sense, he's outside the camp of his brother's wicked plans and wicked deeds whenever they came against Joseph. And yet, we learn some thoughts. Notice that there are a number of lessons to learn. The silver cup is personally received by Benjamin. This silver cup is personally received by Benjamin. Joseph, the sovereign ruler of the land, has chosen this cup for Benjamin and no one else. While the silver cup was a test for Benjamin's brothers, yet God chose to work through Benjamin. When all the sacks are open, the cup is found in Benjamin's sack. Before their day even begun, while they were still resting, Joseph has everything arranged to his steward, put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack of the youngest. And so all this is done by Joseph. Benjamin receives this cup personally by the sovereign ruler. And so, men and women, as we lift our minds to higher ground and think of our sovereign ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the silver cup that we face or that we are given is given personally by him. We receive a cup that is suited to our need. God, through working in the lives of his people, gives them many different kinds of a silver cup experience. And you receive that cup personally. Notice, some may be given a cup, a silver cup of sorrow. This was the case of Job whenever his children died. Or as Mary and Martha, whenever their brother Lazarus died. Or like Hezekiah, there was a sickness unto death. Or Joseph himself, when his mother Rachel died. Or Jacob, as his wife Rachel died. You think of David, when Absalom, his son, died. They experienced the silver cup of sorrow. And maybe you experienced the silver cup of sorrow. A death in the family. A bereavement in the family. And the Lord does that to draw you to himself. Again, it may be you've been given the silver cup of suffering, as it was in the case of Joseph, Jeremiah, Paul, Peter and Silas, as they entered into prison. Or as Daniel, when he was persecuted for his gospel stand. Or Isaac, who was a child of promise. You may go through persecution for taking a stand for the Lord. Or because you're a Christian, you may be laughed at, you may be sneered at, you may be mocked because you go to church, because you worship the Lord, because you read a Bible, because you pray to God. And therefore, you may have that cup of suffering. But again, that identifies you as belonging to the Lord, because those who live in Christ shall suffer persecution. And the world hates you because it hates the Savior. Maybe a silver cup of sickness or bodily weakness, as it was with Job, who suffered many sores on his body. Or Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh. Or Timothy, who had stomach pains. Or Epaphroditus, as we will look at in Philippians, who was sick unto death. Or Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick with a fever. Or David, many times in the Psalms, expresses times of trouble, downcast, feeling overwhelmed. And such times of silver cup experiences are personal. They have been given to you by the Lord, and you have received them personally. It's personal to you because you are the only one, maybe, at that particular time that's going through that situation in your family or in your church. You may feel no one understands. You may feel no one quite grasps all the details that what you're going through. And don't forget, the cup that is given is Joseph's own silver cup. He understands as he gives this cup. He has experienced the silver cup in his life. His mother died by giving birth to his brother. He was separated from his father. He was hated, despised, rejected, betrayed by his brothers. His death was planned. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused. He was put in prison. He was forgotten. He was lied against. And so Joseph knew what it was to have a silver cup experience in his life of sorrow and suffering. And that brings us, doesn't it, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who personally was given a cup of suffering and sorrow to lay down his life for his people. John chapter 18, verse 1, he said, or in verse 11, the cup which my Father hath given me. Therefore, as the great high priest, a greater than Joseph, he understands all our sorrows. He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with our griefs. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cares for us. He understands us. Again, Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Though the cup has been given to you personally, yet you are not alone, because your Savior understands every detail. He understands what you are going through. It's also interesting to note that the silver cup is received by any age. Verse 2, put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. Benjamin is the youngest in the family, and he receives this silver cup, the silver cup of accusation, of sorrow, of suffering, of trial. And that silver cup can be given at any age. Parents may know what it is to have a child sick or who will go through life with an infirmity. Just as Joseph, or as Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, was lame. Or you read in the Gospels of those children belonging to parents who had taken sick. Or in John chapter 9 of the parents whose son was born blind. And so the silver cup may be to have a sick child. And maybe there's someone here who has been born with a sick child. I, in a sense, was born as a sick child. And I had my first operation, heart operation, within 3 months, and many more since that. Maybe you have had a child with certain limitations in that sense, or sicknesses, whatever it may be. And you've been given a cup of suffering in that sense, a silver cup. A silver cup may also involve the death of a young child in the family. Again, as it was when David's child died, or Job's 7 children died, or in 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow woman's son, her only son, had died. And so the silver cup can come at any age. Even young people today can receive a silver cup of sickness, a silver cup of sorrow. Joseph himself was a young lad when his mother died, and a young teenager when he was despised and rejected by his brethren. And so such silver cups are challenging. Benjamin has received this silver cup at a young age. He's received it personally. It was given to him. It was chosen for him by the sovereign. No one else. Yet he had done nothing wrong. He had the whole life ahead of him. But we must remember, Joseph himself received the silver cup of trials, though he had done nothing wrong. He came to seek his brethren's well-being. He came on to his own, and his own received him not. Joseph, at a young age, received a silver cup personally, and at a young age. And see the ultimate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went about doing good. Christ, who never did anything wrong, yet he was chosen to carry a silver cup, a cup of suffering, sorrow, at a young age and through his days. Whenever he was born into poverty. Herod sought his life to destroy him. He was taken into Egypt. He was moved about at the age of 30. When he began his public ministry, he was persecuted. He was mocked. He was betrayed. He was nailed to a cross. He died to save his people. He came on to his own, and his own received him not. And so as we think today of the receiver of this silver cup, it's none other than Benjamin. Oh yes, all the other brothers were there, and each one of them didn't receive it. It was Benjamin was the one who received the silver cup, and he received it personally. He was the one Joseph thought about, and he received it at a young age. And therefore, child of God, as we go through the silver cup experiences in our life, maybe you've gone through some, maybe you still go through some, maybe you go through many more. We must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who knows all about our trouble. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he will succor you. He will come to ride to your aid. And I know even in this congregation, throughout this year, there have been certain people that have gone through silver cup experiences of sickness, of sorrow, of trial, of heartbreak. And at those times you've been going through it, you have been the only one, maybe within the congregation, to have that particular bereavement, to have that particular sorrow, to have that particular sickness. And yet the Lord knew all about it, and he had a reason for it, to draw you to himself. And there'll be another purpose we will look at in a minute. The reason for the silver cup. The receiver of the silver cup. Notice the response to the silver cup. Why the silver cup was a test for Benjamin's brothers, how they would respond to Benjamin. Yet we must also see Benjamin's response in this silver cup. We will look at both together. In response of both, there is a lesson to our hearts. There's a spiritual lesson also in the typology relating to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is testing his brother's response to Benjamin. He places the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. He wants to see the witness, the evidence of their confession. He wants to see, will they forsake Benjamin? He wants to see, well, how they will respond at this situation. Will they despise him? Will they reject him? Will they accuse him? Will they speak ill of him? Will they do everything to him that they did to Joseph? Will they respond to Benjamin, how they responded to Joseph, where they couldn't even speak peacefully on him? They had nothing good to say to him or about him. 21 or 22 years have passed, and Joseph now permits a silver cup to be placed in Benjamin's sack. And there are certain lessons to learn as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Did you realize that God may permit a silver cup in your life, not only as a trial for you, but also as a means to test another person, to see what is in their heart, to see their response? God would use you as a channel in affliction to test someone else, at a sign to strengthen them. Though they may never go through that particular trial or that silver cup, but as you go through it, God uses you to strengthen them as they learn from you, as they see what's happened to you, or they look at your life or that silver cup experience and they learn from it. Growth and grace. Remember, Paul received the silver cup of persecution in his life. And he was put in jail, in prison, to strengthen the church at Philippi, even to strengthen Timothy and to strengthen Titus. Paul went through a lot of suffering in order to benefit God's people. Didn't he say, even as we've learned in Philippians, all that has happened unto me has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul writes things in order to strengthen them, to build them up. And that is not the case. We go through these particular trials to see what happens, how we can be a benefit to other people. Again, Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, when the Lord said to him, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Imagine getting a message like that from the doctor. And let me tell you this, there are many Christians, even not unsaved as well, but Christians who take the silver cup of sickness And they received this very message, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And that sickness has, for them, has been a way that the Lord has brought them home. But in that sickness, how do they respond? Do they lose all hope? Do they speak against the Lord? What did Hezekiah do in his sickness? Verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 20. Upon hearing such a message, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed on to the Lord. That was his response. He got to prayer. And we know obviously in the providential dealings of God, God gave him another 15, 16 years to live. Hezekiah got to prayer. And so Hezekiah's life is a test for us that when we go through such experiences in life, what should we do? We should get to prayer. Seek the Lord in prayer. Again, Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, that whenever Job had his silver cup, and again with his children's death, the sores on his body, even his wife, how did she respond? She said, curse God and die. But Job said, the Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, and here's the key, nor charged God foolishly. He had no accusation against God. There was no blame against God. There was no word against God. Rather, he could say in Job 23, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Remember David, about the death of his young son after 7 days. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And remember, the men in David's kingdom could see the sorrow. David said of the death of his dear baby, can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David there made that statement that is used in many funerals of infants. I can go to him, but he will not return to me. I will be with him. He's not coming back, but I will go to be with him. Such a sorrow, such a trial. And we know as a congregation, and we know obviously as a denominational family, that even in these situations that we have mentioned, we've been praying for certain people, haven't we, in our denomination, that we've learned in recent months who had these trials, these silver cup experiences. They've lost their children at birth or just after birth or other types of bereavements. And it's the response. The Lord has permitted that trial in their life to be a comfort, to strengthen another believer. Because when you go through such a trial and other people are looking at you, it encourages them, it strengthens them, because they see the grace of God, the sufficiency of God. How did the brethren respond? Verse 13 of this silver cup, they rent their clothes, which was a sign of sorrow. We'll go into detail on another message. Verses 16 to 34, Judah doesn't begin to turn against Benjamin. Rather, he acts in the role of the surety and the substitute to defend Benjamin. Again, verses 32 to 34, Judah takes responsibility for Benjamin. So what a difference. What a change. They were no longer looking after themselves. They no longer accused anyone. They didn't turn against anyone. They were no longer hard men to be around. That's the way the Christian should never be. When they go through a trial, go through a trouble, leave me alone. I don't want to hear you or be near you. Rather, they could see a difference. They could see the work of grace. And there was a difference in their response, how they would have responded before in anger and bitterness and hatred and envy. Now they come, they defend their brother. They show love towards him. And what a difference that was. And that's the test for us all. The silver cup experience for yourself or as a channel of blessing for another above all is the evidence our love for Christ. Or would we be like those in John chapter 6 who would turn back and walk with him no more? What about Benjamin? How did he respond to this silver cup? Because he's received it personally. He's the one that has the silver cup in the sack. Did he fight? Did he kick and scream? Did he start to accuse someone else? Did he say, no, well, hold on. You boys must have put this here. Or I haven't done it, because he knows he didn't. And then did he start to make accusation against others? No. Benjamin's response to the silver cup points to the response of the Lord Jesus Christ in his cup of suffering. Because remember, Benjamin himself is also a type, a pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ, because his name means the Son of my right hand. And therefore we learn that the Savior today is at the right hand of the Father. Benjamin, in this trial, in this cup of suffering, he opened not his mouth. He accepted the silver cup in the sack. And we learn, don't we, from the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as our surety, our sacrifice, our substitute, our sin bearer, our sin offering, our scapegoat, the one who received the silver cup to save us from our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 24. And again, Peter was writing to God's people who were experiencing silver cups, or the silver cup in their life of persecution, of sorrow, because they were saved by grace. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live on to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. I don't know what silver cup the sovereign Savior has planned for this congregation, for your life. But every test is to show a response. And therefore, may our response be to wait upon the Lord. May our response be like Benjamin and the brothers, to witness a good confession. May we do as Peter instructed us. Oh, us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us, who is that example for us, who suffered in the highest level to bring us to God. Notice, finally, the return due to the silver cup. Verses 13 and 14, and again, we'll go into greater detail in another message. They rent their clothes, they laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. The steward's words, as he spoke the message given by Joseph, caused the brothers to return to Joseph's house. They came where Joseph was. He was ready. He was there waiting for them. And when they came, they confessed their sin. They bowed down before him. The silver cup that sovereignly provided by Joseph to Benjamin was the means, was the aid of the steward in bringing them back to Joseph. Again, where was Joseph? He was in his house, in his palace, and he ordered this trial for their purpose, to return to him, to dine with him, to have fellowship with him, and then to reveal himself to them. I am Joseph,
your brother.
And then they entered into all the blessings of Egypt. He gave them the best of the land. Therefore, believer, every silver cup experience of sorrow, of trial, of heartbreak is planned by the Lord through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not for us, for you, for me, to drive away, to go away, to say, I'm done with it. No, it's to cause us to return to where our heavenly Joseph is. Is there one with a silver cup experience today? It's a hard trial. It's a severe trial. It's maybe a perplexing trial. Again, the brothers, how did the silver cup come? And the Lord, by the Spirit, is drawing you back to Himself, because that's what it is. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. In other words, what the Lord casts upon you, give it back to Him. And so they return back to Joseph. And our silver cup is to draw us back to the Savior. Where is He? He is upon His throne, seated in glory. And just as Joseph was waiting for the brethren to return, so the Savior waits for His people to come to Him, to a throne of grace and mercy, to find help in a time of need. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not far from any of us. He surrounds us. And therefore, we approach the throne, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer, and there humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. In your trial, in your cup of suffering, get to the Lord. Come to the Lord in prayer. However hard, severe, He knows the length. He's permitted every single detail. He knows all about it. Therefore, come to Him in prayer. Lay the matter before Him and have fellowship with Him. Draw near to Him. Be comforted by Him and have Him reveal Himself to you in such a wonderful way. Just as Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph, your brother. Hear the Lord. Say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He provides for his people. He cares for his people. He loves his people with an everlasting love. The silver cup, the reason for this cup, the receiver of this cup, the response to this cup, and then the return due to the silver cup. Whenever you experience a silver cup in your life, remember those simple points and turn to the Lord and ask Him for grace and for help to go through it all. May the Lord write His word upon our heart for His name's sake. Amen.